Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, California, the Mutual Broadcasting System cordially invites you to 30 minutes of fun. How? Just meet me at Parkey. Yes, come on along, everybody. Come along to Parkey's restaurant and say hello to Betty Rhodes, Sheldon Leonard, Elliot Lewis, Jane Morgan, Dick Ryan, Harry Zimmerman and his 19 short orders, yours truly, Art Gilmore, and our genial host, the star of our show, Mark Dukakis.
Oh, my, ever since that racetrack has opened up at Hollywood Park this week, all what everybody just talks about and thinks about is horses. This morning, I said to my dishwasher, who do you think will win? Stassen, Vandenberg, or Dewey? He said, it all depends which jockey rides it. And another thing with those racetracks, why do they always have what to build them way outside the city limits? At least if they put them right in town, it wouldn't be such a long walk home. Oh, here comes Betty Rhodes. Hello, Betty.
Parkey, I want to go over today's special dinner with you so that I can type it up on the menus.
That's a good idea. Go ahead, baby.
All right. Well, for the first course, we have a choice of grapefruit or tomato juice, right?
That's right, yes.
And in the second race, we have a...
Second race? You too, baby?
I hope you'll excuse me, Parkey. Guess I got horses on my mind. You know, I'm going out to the track this afternoon.
Oh, are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I sure hope that you pick lots of winners.
Oh, well, don't worry about me, Parkey. I've got a system all of my own.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, I count the number of brown horses in the race.
Yes.
Then I think of a number from 1 to 10, and then I subtract the number of black horses.
Yes.
And I multiply that by the number of the horse that won the previous race.
Oh, and then you bet whatever number that comes out to.
No. Then I wait for somebody to give me a tip.
Well, that'd be a good way, too. Oh, Betty, this business to betting on horses sure be crazy, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure is, Parker.
Sure is.
Oh, but I don't know. I get a kick out of it. Mm. I go out there and I bet $2 and I get the biggest thrill. Mm. Why don't you ever go out to the track, Parker? It'd be good for you.
No. I went out there once, Betty, but I didn't like it. It was too boring.
Boring?
Yeah, won every race.
You won every race? Yeah. Why, Parker, that's wonderful.
What's so wonderful about it? Ain't that why people go there?
Yeah, but to pick every race, Parkey, for heaven's sakes, how much money did you win?
Oh, I didn't win no money. I bet with myself, you see.
You bet with yourself?
Yes, I figured that was much better than betting with strangers. Yeah, Betty, I'm not going to bet none of my money on horses. The second most important thing that I ever learned in my life was not to bet on horses.
That was the second most important thing you ever learned?
Yeah, the greatest thing I ever learned was just to love and be loved in return.
Oh, but honestly, Parkey, did you really pick every winner?
Sure I did.
Well, how did you get to be such an expert on horses?
Oh, it wasn't been me, Betty. You see, I knew one of the horse owners there. He gave me all the winners. A fellow by the name of Charlie Morse.
Charlie Morse?
Yes.
Why, he owns one of the largest stables in the country, and you say you know him?
Sure, he's a distant relative of mine. He's a first cousin.
Wait a minute. If he's your first cousin, why do you say he's a distant relation?
Because he was born in New York and I was born in Greece. That's why.
Well, Parkey, if you really know Charlie Morse that well, why don't you go out to the track and see him and let him give you some more winners? Why, he could make a fortune for you.
Don't got to go out to the track, Betty. Charlie's coming in here this afternoon. Met him on the street yesterday. He said that he'd drop in here for to see me today.
Oh, really, Parkey?
Yes.
Oh, this is exciting. What time's he coming in?
Oh, he said he'd be here around 3 o'clock.
Oh, 3 o'clock? Yes. Gosh, I won't be here. Uh-huh. Look, Parkey, if he gives you a horse, will you please bet this $2 for me?
Look, Betty, don't bet no money on horses. You couldn't win.
Oh, look, Parkey, take this $2 and bet it on any horse that Charlie Morse gives you.
Okay, if you say so. Oh, say, I better wait on that man over there. Yes, sir, yes.
Would you please let me have a cup of coffee and a small crust of bread? Mm-hmm. I haven't eaten a thing in over a week. I'll pay you the very first chance I get. Honest, I will. I swear I will.
Yes, all right. Sit right down there.
Oh, gee, thanks. You're so kind.
All right.
Would you let me have that menu, please?
The menu?
Yes.
Look, mister, I should think that you'd be glad to take whatever I give you to eat instead of you being particular. Picking out special something from the menu to eat, you know.
Oh, I didn't want to pick out anything special to eat, sir. I just wanted to use the menu to stuff in my shoes.
Huh?
You see, my soles are worn down pretty thin.
They're thin?
Mm, My soles are really so thin I can step on a morning newspaper and tell you who Westbrook Pegler is mad at.
Parky, I'm leaving for the track. Yes. Now, don't forget to bet that $2 for me on the horse that Charlie Morse gives you.
Don't worry, Betty. I wouldn't forget. Have a good time. Goodbye, Betty.
Bye.
Oh, pardon me, sir. But that young lady just mentioned Charlie Morse's name. Was she referring to the Charlie Morse, the horse owner?
Yes, you're right.
Honestly?
Yes.
I mean, do you really know him?
Did I know him? He's coming in here this afternoon.
He is?
Yes.
Say, do you think you could get him to give you a winner?
Well, I guess I can win if I ask him.
Gee, look, mister, would you kindly do me a small favor?
Yeah, what is it?
But would you please take this $200 and bet it on whatever horse he gives you?
Bet $200?
Sure.
You got $200?
Yeah, sure. Here it is right
But
here.
Look, you got shoes with holes in them, and look at your clothes. They're just rags. You said that you didn't have nothing to eat for over a week.
That's right.
Yes.
How do you think I saved up this
$200? You know, I guess by not throwing away your money on foolish things like food and rent and clothing, yeah. Now, look, mister, take my advice and don't bet on horses. The poor houses are filled up with losers.
I know it, but you should see where the winners are living.
Yeah?
Mister, you'll still bet this $200 on the horse Mr. Morse gives you, won't you?
I will, but I still say what it'd be the wrong thing for to do.
Gee, if he gives you a long shot, and I bet the $200, why, I may win $5,000 or $6,000.
$5,000 or $6,000?
Yes, it's possible, you know.
Yeah.
And, mister,
yes?
If I win that much, you know what I am going to do for you?
What?
I'm going to rush right back here and pay you the nickel for this cup of coffee.
Oh, my.
Zimmerman is 19 Short Orders playing Why Do I Love You? We'll be back with Parky in just a moment. On a cold evening in 1778, during the War for Independence, the frigate Boston sailed east under sealed orders carrying supercargo. The supercargo was John Adams, ambassador to France. Lieutenant Jennison, commanding officer of the Marine Detachment aboard, was assigned to guard the personal safety of this important man. Some 20 years later, John Adams, then President of the United States, signed the act which created a permanent Marine Corps. Back in those early days, the Marines, like other fighters for our freedom at Valley Forge, often lacked very basic equipment. Today, of course, Marines are world famous for their superb accoutrements and training. And, as in those early days, for the proud tradition of the Marine Corps, the heritage of devotion which over the years has made the Marines an elite corps. Today, perhaps you can become part of this tradition. The Marine Corps is now accepting a selected number of volunteers. If you're between the ages of 17 and 29, perhaps you can qualify. You'll be entitled to superb Marine Corps training in highly skilled trades. For tradition and career, it's the Marine Corps first.
Ah, my, don't that be a funny thing the way everybody goes crazy if they think what you got a little information about the horse. The whole neighborhood has heard what Charlie Morse is going for the beer this afternoon, and they're all bringing me in money for the bet for them. Yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe it'd be a good thing for to know a man like Charlie Morse. Maybe he could give me a win at that. Oh, my, look who's coming in now, the little lady from the sewing circle. Now, one thing I'm sure, she's don't be worrying her head about horses. Come right in, lady. Come right in. Glad to see you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, mercy, I'm so tired. Yeah. I just walked all the way over here from my house.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you live very far from here?
No, I just live down the street about 5 furlongs.
Yeah. 5 furlongs? I see what you got the horse race bogged too, huh?
Heavens, yes. And no wonder. Yes. Don't forget, I was born, raised, and lived right on a racetrack all my life.
You live right on a racetrack?
Yes. And it got to be a nuisance, too. Yes. I mean, all those horses racing through the living room.
Yeah, I could see where that could become annoying, yes.
Well, there was one good thing about it. Mm. That's how I met my first husband, you know.
You met your first husband while he was riding a horse through your house? Who was he, Paul Revere?
No, Paul Revere was my second husband. My first husband was another jockey.
He was another jockey?
Devin, yes. Yeah. And every time he ran, he'd stop at our kitchen during the race, and we'd sit and have a cup of coffee together. Isn't that nice?
Yes, that's nice.
Oh, my husband was a famous jockey.
What?
Everyone knew him by his colors.
Oh, what was his color?
Black and blue.
Black and blue? How did he ever pick out colors like that?
Oh, he didn't pick them.
No?
He just got them by falling off his horse.
Maybe he was in the wrong business.
That's what I kept telling him.
Yes.
He had no right to be a jockey.
No?
In the first place, I'm positive that he weighed too much.
He did? How much did he weigh?
265 pounds.
265 pounds?
Yes. Do you think that's too much for a jockey to weigh?
I think that's too much for a horse to weigh. Look, lady, your husband should have gone on a diet.
Oh, don't worry. I finally made him go on a diet.
Hope so.
I didn't give him a single thing to eat for over 6 months. And he lost 245 pounds.
Say, that weight sure went.
Yes. And he went with it.
Yeah. Too bad. I'm really sorry.
Oh, but he had the most wonderful funeral.
He did?
Heavens, yes. Hundreds of his friends came, and they brought all their little cameras along and took pictures of him.
He took pictures of your husband at his funeral?
Yes. That was his last wish.
What?
He always wanted to be in a photo finish.
It's a pretty good one. They took pictures of husband's funeral so he could be in a photo finish. I hope that he wasn't a crooked jockey, because where he went to, they probably had a dead heat. Oh, my, look who's coming in there. That faker, Orville Sharp.
Well, I break my old friend, Mr. Sparky Cactus. Am I correct?
Yes, Mr. Sharp, you're correct. Yes,
Mr. Hey, I was just over doing some banking, see? Yes. And I had to drop everything and rush over here.
You was doing some banking? Where?
Over at the pool room.
Huh?
I was banking a 5-ball off the side cushion.
Well, why did you have to rush over here so important?
Well, there is a rumor around town that is spreading like wildflower.
Yes.
That you are personally acquainted with Charlie Morse. Now, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm acquainted with him. Tell you the truth, he's been coming over here for today to see me.
Oh, hey. You know, I didn't realize that you knew him.
You didn't?
Oh, no. Well, now, brother, I got a sensational business proposition that might interest him.
You got a sensational preposition that might interest him?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Kind of talk.
And you see, since he is such a big horse man,
yes.
I'm sure that he's going to want to get in on this one, too.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sharp, I'm sure what Charlie Moss has done would be interesting in you and your prepositions, huh? Mm-hmm. What do you know about horses, anyway?
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Well, brother, every racetrack in the United States has invited me.
Invited you to come there?
No, to stay away.
You mean you are barred from all the racetracks in the country?
Racetracks?
Yes.
Oh. Won't even let me go within 2 miles of a merry-go-round.
Why was the trouble? Why did they bar you?
Because I was too smart for them, that's why.
Yeah?
Yeah, I knew too much about betting on them horses.
You did, huh?
I'll say I did. Well, I figured out assisting them.
Assisting him?
Yes, sir.
What kind of assisting him?
Well, I would just walk up to them $50 windows. See, yes. I would start throwing my money in. Throwing it in till I really frightened them. I could have won over $10
million. $10 million?
Yes, sir. Could have broken every track in the country.
What do you know?
Except for one little thing.
What was that?
They broke me twice.
Well, I'm sure you had a good system in there, all right.
Yes, sir. Hey, Mr. Pocky Carcass, now, I sure would appreciate it if you would ask this this Charlie Morse to give me a winner. You see, all I want to do is I want to get a little of my own money back. Oh, brother, them horses, they owe me plenty.
You're really in the hole, huh?
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Never get even.
You won.
Yeah. Here, look, the season's less than a week old.
Yes.
Already, I am out over $4.
Just a plunger, huh?
See, I wouldn't mind if it was all my own dough.
Yeah.
No, but you see, there's 23 friends of mine and me, we put up that $4.
See, $4 belongs to you and 23 of your friends?
Yeah. Yeah, we got together, we formed a pool. Mm-hmm.
That's not a pool, that's a puddle. Okay, Mr. Sharp, how much money you'd like to bet?
Well, now, just as long as you were going to get your information from Charlie Morse.
Yes.
I'd like to bet $100.
You'd like to bet $100?
Yes, well, I'd like to bet. I ain't got it, so I'll bet $5.
All right, $5.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, the only thing is, yes. I don't think I got quite $5 with me. I wonder if you let me have the difference, you know, kind of make up the $5.
How much difference do you need?
$4.95.
Okay, I'll put up the $4.95 for
you. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Pocky Carcass.
You're welcome, and don't make me forget.
Our lovely Victor Recording star singing Yours. Thank you, Betty. We'll be back with Parkey in just a moment. From the annals of our history come the tales of men of the Marine Corps, men of skill and courage, men who cherished the ideals of freedom and democracy, men who fought to preserve them. To the service of these ideals, on land, sea, and in the air, are dedicated the men of the United States Marine Corps. You know, a lot of people like to thumb through the pages of history, reading about outstanding deeds of bravery, perseverance, and valor. Take Lieutenant Daniel Longstreet of the Marine Corps, for instance. He personally led an assault on Natchez, Mississippi in 1778 with a force half the size of the defending British troops. Through his efforts, some 40 Marines who were being held prisoner were released. Then, procuring a ship, the captured supplies were loaded on board. Following this, Longstreet and his Marines started up the river to join George Rogers Clark in his march on Vincennes. They did get to Clark, and with him marched into what is now Indiana and Ohio. They helped make history, and they still do. That's part of the great Marine tradition. That's part of the proud heritage which, over the years, has made the Marines outstanding, world famous for high morale and complete devotion to the country that they serve.
Could I get you something else for tea, Charlie? You like another cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Parky. I'm really full.
Yes?
You know, I've been looking forward to spending an afternoon with you. Yes. At least you won't talk about horses. That's why I didn't go out to the track today. For just one day, I wanted to get away from those leeches grabbing me by my lapels and asking for information. Parky, you're the first man I've met in 6 months who hasn't asked me for a winner. Yeah?
I don't ask you no winners, Charlie. I know if you got any good information, but you would give it to me. But you don't got to. Don't got to at all, unless you know something. But if you don't feel like it, that's all right. Unless you want to.
Parker, you're no different than anybody else, are you?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Charlie. Don't tell me, you know. But when everybody around here heard what you were standing over here today, they got so excited they don't give me money for the death of them. That's okay. I'll just tell them what I didn't want for the body. But, you know, everybody is that way. They all heard what the great Charlie Morse is coming over here. We thought that maybe you could give him the name of one of the favorites, you know, 100-to-1 shot.
Barkey, I'd love to be able to do that, but believe me, I don't know any horses that'll pay 100-to-1.
Well, it don't have to be 100-to-1. Even 80-to-1 is all right. You know?
Well, Parky, I didn't want to think about horses at all today, but I guess we can't let your friends down.
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing any winners now.
Well, that's right.
The only thing I can do is go over the racing form with you and select a horse that I'd bet on myself.
Well, that's good enough for me, Charlie. Here's the racing form right here.
Good. Yeah. Well, let's see what we have here.
Can you read all right without glasses?
Yeah.
That's all right. Yes.
Well, in the third race today, the outstanding horse is Mary Sherry.
Mary Sherry. Okay, I'll call up and bet them on right away. The third race starts.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Mary Sherry can't win it.
No.
Bad leg.
Bad leg.
Now, let's look at the fourth race.
Yes, what's in the fourth race?
Say, Parky, here's a standout horse, Walter.
Big Walter, that's the one to bet on, Big Walter.
No, he can't win it.
Couldn't? Who could win the fourth race?
let's see. I don't think there's a horse in the race that could win it.
There's not a horse in the race that could win it? But look, one of the horses must come in first. Okay, forget about the fourth race. What about the fifth race?
Well, let's see who's in the fifth race.
Yes, let's see who's in the fifth race.
Wait a minute, Parky. Here's a horse. Lily Bolero.
Lily Bolero?
Yes, Parky, I think that might be a horse to bet on.
You do?
I've been watching that horse for a year now, and I think she may be ready today.
Lily Bolero.
And she'll pay a good price, too.
She will?
Yep. Lily Bolero is the horse to bet on today.
Lily Bolero's the horse, huh?
Now, look, Parky, remember what I told you about sure things.
Yes.
But she's as sure as anything on that track today.
Yes.
I'll tell you how safe I feel in giving her to you.
Yes.
I'm going to bet on her myself.
You are? Well, that's plenty good enough for me. See, I better get that bookmaker on the phone right now.
Will you do me a favor and place my bet along with the rest?
Yeah.
I want to get in on some of this velvet, too.
Don't blame you. I'll be glad to place your bet too, Charlie. Sure.
Fine.
Yes.
I want to bet this $2.
Yes.
It's a show.
Okay. Hey, you know, Mr. Pankakakis, I never heard of that horse, that Lily Bolero.
He did the guy, Mr. Sharp. That is the horse what Charlie gave me, and he said if she wins, she should pay a hat store. That's what he told me.
Yeah, oh, boy, I certainly can use it, too.
Mr. Pakikakis, I think you better turn on the radio. They should have the results in a couple of seconds.
See, that's right. I better tune it in here. Yes.
And now the results of the fifth race. The winner,
Lily Bolero.
Happy bachelor.
Again.
Not Happy Bachelor. What happened to Lily Valero?
Finishing second is the Early Summer, and the Pale Rose gets third place.
What happened to Lily Valero?
Now, look, don't look at me, Mr. Sharp. I didn't have nothing to do with it. You were the one that wanted for the bet on the horses.
Oh, I'd like to get my hands on that front of yours, that Charlie Morse, that dirty crook.
Dirty crook, yeah? What are you squawking about? You bet $5 on that horse, but you made me put up $4.95 on it. All what you put up is a nickel.
I know it. I can't afford to lose that kind of money.
That $10 I gave you to get from me was my rent money, too.
I know, but...
Yes. And what about me? I bet $200. I never thought you'd take advantage of a poor man like me.
Take advantage.
Each and over a week, yes, and with holes in my shoes. And look, just look at my clothes. Look, they're all in rags.
Yes. You know something, folks? I told all of you not to bet on horses, didn't I? But no. You are all smarter than me. You give me the money. Bet. Go ahead, bet. Bet just the same. Now, look. Even the great Charlie Moss couldn't guarantee what the horse he gave me would absolutely win. You know what I did?
What?
Didn't bet no money.
Hey, you didn't get any of our bets down with a bookmaker?
That's right. Here's your $200, Mrs. T. There you are. Go buy yourself a pair of shoes now. And here's your $10, ladies, too.
Oh,
here's your...
Thanks.
Yes, Mr. Sharp, here's your nickel.
Nickel, he says? Why, I bet $5. What are you trying to do, chip me?
Chip you?
Gee, Mr. Parker Carcass, that was pretty clever of you not betting the money.
You bet.
That felt awful when I thought I lost it.
Yeah.
Well, this sure has taught me a lesson.
I hope
so. Never bet on another horse as long as I live.
Yeah. Neither will I.
Yeah, and me too. Oh, gee, thanks, Mr. Parker Carcass.
All right, as long as you all learn the lesson. Next time, maybe you'll all listen to your Uncle Parker.
Attention, folks, attention. We have a correction in the results of the fifth race.
Yes.
The judges have disqualified the first three horses, Happy Bachelor, Early Summer, and the Pale Rose, for fouling. The official winner now is Lily Valero. and Lily Valero paid $84.60 to win.
$84.60 to win. Mr. Sharp, what are you doing? Put on that knife.
This is Art Gilmore saying goodnight. This program came from Hollywood. Stay tuned now for the Jim Backus Show. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.